Welcome to Sanctuary, the podcast. I am Dr. Crystal Jones, your host. Each week, we engage in conversations that reveal the truth of who we are and how we thrive on this planet. Only on the Lighter Side Network, where the everyday meets the extraordinary. Hey, 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 welcome back to the Sanctuary. I am elated. I know I always say I'm so excited, but truly elated for this next guest because they speak to the heart of my existence on this planet right now. And before we get into anything, I want to introduce Kai. Kai is an educator, a healer, a friend, and a highly sensitive person, a Sagittarius, a witch, a divine being, most importantly, an auntie. They are a writer of fiction and nonfiction, specializing in telling stories of Black, queer, femmes, and non-binary folks. Thank you so much for being here, Kai.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Thank you not only for being here, but thank you for existing and thriving in who you are. I have witnessed you over the past few years, and just your existence alone is liberating. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to know a little bit more about who you are and how you show up in the world.
Yeah. Such a big question. I don't know where to start. First off, I was in a really good mood the day that I that bio was written because it makes me sound amazing. Yeah, I am originally from Nashville, which and I've lived in the South my whole life except for 1 year, and I got back down here as soon as I could. So I heavily identify with being Southern. I don't necessarily identify with being country. I think there's a difference. Not that there's anything wrong with being country, but I don't think I identify as country. But yeah, at this point in my life, I'm learning to listen to the universe, and I'm learning to listen to my ancestors in guiding me to what is next. You know, I'm still doing the things that I do best, I guess, but I'm learning how to take guidance instead of just constantly doing what I think I need or doing what I think I want. And then realizing that when I end up in this new place, wherever it is, that it's exactly where I need to be. So right now I'm showing up in the world as, I don't know, I kind of feel like I am a medium, not in the sense of I'm speaking directly to spirits or that spirits are directly speaking to me, but that I hear things and I just communicate them. So that's where I am lately. In the past few months, I've been focusing on that, focusing on getting my words out more. I took a break from writing for a while, probably an unintentional break. And so I'm getting back into it, even, I guess, I want to call it micro writing. I don't know. With my Instagram page, one of my Instagram pages, it's one of those spiritual pages, but I try to make it real and not just smile, you know, I don't know, smile even when your heart is breaking because it's a song lyric or, you know, whatever else. And so I'm trying to make it more real and more relevant to Black people. Yeah, that's one big thing that I've been doing lately. And one way that I've been showing up in the world is centering Blackness and centering femininity and centering queerness and centering all these aspects of myself that I feel like I've had to tamp down in a variety of areas, in a variety of environments. And I don't like that feeling. I don't like feeling like it feels like you have to cut off your hand or cut off your arm or something just to show up in a certain space. And I've been intentionally, as much as I can, showing up as my full self in as many places as I can.
I like that last part because I had the thought, well, do you still show up in those spaces that at one point you felt like you had to cut your arm off or cut your hand off? But what I heard you saying is what you're doing now is showing up in those spaces as your authentic self. And for me, witnessing that and seeing not only that through Instagram, but just seeing it in the world, for you, I get excited, or I notice so much excitement in the fact that people get to know you as an ever-evolving human being. And that's how I've known you, is an ever-evolving human being. And I think the world could use a lot more of people noticing that how you express yourself is different moment to moment.
Yeah, that's been a big thing for me lately. I think the older I get, the more I say things like, the older I get. But also, the older I get, the more I realize that, yeah, that who I am right now and who I was yesterday and who I am tomorrow might be three completely different people, and that it's okay. And I do a lot of yoga, and one of my favorite YouTube yoga teachers always says, you know, listen to your body, which a lot of yoga teachers say, but she says, you know, your body today has different capabilities than yesterday, and not necessarily that it can do more, but that it is moving differently. You have a different body today than you did yesterday. And not necessarily that it's stronger or it's better, quote unquote, right? Because that's subjective and day to day. But a lot of our growth and a lot of our evolution as humans is kind of like an ebb and flow. Like, I think of like the ocean waves, and, you know, some days I can give it a 7 and some days I can give it a 2 and some days I can give it a 10 and some days I can barely roll out of bed. And that's just part of life. And I think we're doing ourselves a disservice by pretending like that's not how humans work.
Yes. A lot of my exploration in this most recently has been through gender. And I have had the amazing experience of, one, seeing this through you, also understanding that the fluidity of it, and the, when you say a certain thing, understanding or allowing people to recognize you in that moment as who you are, and then recognize you in the next moment as who you are, and continually do that. And I'm seeing more and more people show up in that capacity where my pronouns are fluid, this is fluid, that is fluid, and just allowing the fluidity of life to be whatever it is, and how it's showing up through you, and how the ocean is flowing through you, and all of that. And I know that talking about gender and your experience with gender is super important to you. And so I'd love to hear more about your experience with gender.
Yeah. Gender is one of those things I really like to talk about. I can kind of get on a soapbox.
Here's your box.
Hey, here it is. Spotlight on me. But yeah, it's all made up, right? Mm-hmm. It's all... lots of things in the world are made up, not just gender.
All of it's made up.
Basically, yeah. I got mad at my mom one time. Not mad, for real. But like, this was a couple years ago. I was like, why didn't you tell me that nobody knew what they were doing and we're all just out here winging it? She was like, oh, I don't know. I thought you figured that out. And I was like, well, here I am. I guess I figured it out. But yeah, that, you know, the rules are made up. And we can create ourselves however we can create ourselves however we want to be. And I guess when we look at certain behaviors or certain aspects of life and realize, oh, this is made up, it doesn't have to be this way, it's easier to subvert that. So like, you know, women wear certain things or men wear certain types of clothes. Why? You know, at the end of the day, and I have a little bit of context. I learned how to sew back in like 9th grade. So I've done a lot of making clothes and making different garments, pillows and bags and different things like that. And so literally it's just fabric. I have a Pinterest board for fashion, and it's literally called fabric and thread and needles and bobbins, because it's all just fabric and thread. Like, it doesn't matter what color it is, you know, how it lays on your body. It's just fabric. And it's, the purpose of clothing is to keep us warm, to keep us from being naked, to keep us, you know, to protect us from the elements. Who cares if it's a skirt or a dress or pants or shorts or, you know, a crop top or whatever the case is, as long as it's doing its job. And so once you kind of deconstruct things to their basic level, their most basic level, you can see, oh, well, it's just fabric. Mm-hmm. And I actually was going to, I had the idea a few years ago to write a blog about clothes and how they reinforce gender stereotypes. When I started dressing masculine, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, and I started realizing like, okay, masculine clothes exist to make you look bigger, and feminine clothes exist to make you look smaller. So you can see that really well with shoes. Men's shoes make your feet look so much bigger than women's shoes, and women's shoes make your feet look smaller than what they actually look like. And so you realize this, like, and you combine that with, okay, women are, quote unquote, supposed to take up less space, and men are supposed to take up more space. You know, there's man spreading, the whole man spreading movement and all of that. And realizing like, wow, it's even down to our clothes. So many of these gender expectations are literally weaved into our clothes. Mm-hmm. And they're literally weaved into our children's books and toys. And, you know, TV shows, and we know all these things. But when you realize how deeply it's embedded into our society, you realize how pervasive all of that is. It's like you kind of, you know, I was just listening to something yesterday about like listening to a podcast about princess culture and how even, you know, people who have kids, but they don't even have TVs or they don't let their kids watch movies, they still go to daycare, you know, with all the other kids who do watch TV and movies. And it's almost impossible to raise a child outside of these expectations. And whatever the flavor of the day is for that gender, you know, your kid will come home wanting a princess dress and a tiara. And I saw a kid today dressed up as Belle at the coffee shop. And it's just, it's everywhere. It's mm-hmm. so pervasive. And it comes down to the most basic of things, like, you know, underwear, gendered, toothbrushes, gendered, every single thing, socks, gendered. Why? They just cover your feet. They're socks. Everyone has feet. Everyone needs socks. Why? So it's fascinating, but it's kind of scary because it, at the very least, it gives everyone a narrow definition to live up to. But at the most, it's harmful, right? Because there are plenty mm-hmm. of people who either don't fit into that box, don't want to fit into those boxes, who literally aren't male or female, and are kind of stuck trying to figure out where exactly they're supposed to fit in so that they blend in with society. There are people who just culturally, you know, that's where the white supremacy slides mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. of all these things are very much gendered to a white perspective mm-hmm. and gendered to a West, when they say westernized, you know, it's a code word for white, but, or code word for white American. Cause really, you know, even if it's Western Europe, a lot of that is influenced by the US, like just to be straight up, I guess. But yeah, so it's just, it's all very white. It's all very, heterosexual. It's all very cisgender. It's all, you know, all these things. And so that's one of the most tangible ways to talk about gender is clothing and how it shows up in people's day-to-day lives, you know, like coffee, even like a masculine coffee would be like black coffee or like a shot of espresso. And then a feminine coffee would be, you know, Frappuccino with all the extra whipped cream and caramel drizzle and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, why? Mm-hmm. Why is this? And obviously, you don't go into Starbucks and it doesn't have like men's menu and women's menu, but it's
implied.
It's implied. Thank mm-hmm. you. Yes, that is the word I was looking for. So it's just it's ridiculous. And it, what if we got rid of these structures that people are supposed to exist within? Mm-hmm. You know, how many people have been stifled for whatever reason by something as arbitrary as not even their genitalia, but their perceived gender, mm-hmm. you know, their perceived gender that may or may not be based on their genitalia, mm-hmm. because there are plenty of intersex people who are perceived to be men or women who are neither. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's you're actively erasing people that actually do exist, that aren't men or women or masculine or feminine or male or female. And you are not only separating people into two different categories that don't need to exist, but you're also putting those two categories in a hierarchy where masculine, male, man always comes out on top. Mm-hmm. Even just saying men and women, you know, men is first. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I think of like old TV shows and stuff where they would name their boat or they would name their car and they would always be a she. And you're like, oh, you know, the SS Lucille, I named my boat Lucille and she's a beaut and blah, blah, blah. It's like you're equating women with objects. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, objectifying women's bodies and all that is a whole, it's still part of it, but it's a whole nother can of worms that I won't jump onto that soapbox right now. But yeah, it's just, it's insidious and it's unnecessary because it doesn't exist. It's not real. It's made mm-hmm. up. It's all made up. And, you know, various cultures throughout history have had a lot more fluidity with gender than U.S. culture. But yeah, United States, white, Christian, cisgender, heterosexual, all the things, able-bodied culture says that men do this thing, women do this thing. And it's mm-hmm. super harmful. And yeah, women are taxed more or have to pay more for the same exact products as men. They get paid less money. You know, what kind of sense does that make? I have to pay more, but I don't get as much money. And, you know, I'm not taking it seriously. And all these things. Mm-hmm. All these things.
There's so much that's to it. When this work for me is in healthcare and how people are being diagnosed based on gender. And there's so much to intellectualizing it. There's so much into knowing what it is. What's been different for me is sharing my experience in it, which is very, for me, it's, I can speak to it all the time and go and say something and trigger people to shift culture. But when I took it in and I started breathing it on my own and noticing what was my experience with gender, what was my experience with sexuality, it took me to a whole nother level of beingness. And so I love to hear briefly a bit of your experience and how you've experienced your movement through gender or anything else that you feel like you've moved through recently.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I've always felt a little off with gender my whole life. Even when I was a kid, I would play with my brother and his friends. And I don't know, I never quite fit in the box very well. And so as an adult where I finally feel like I'm in a place where I can explore that a little bit more and explore that fluidity, it's been really interesting because for so long, I was afraid to look different or to stand out in any kind of way. And so then I started dressing masculine and I was like, okay, this felt good. And then something shifted a couple years ago and I didn't really want to dress masculine anymore. And it wasn't necessarily like, you know, that I feel like a different person. It was more so like, I just don't want to look like that mm-hmm. on today. Literally, I would get up in the mornings and say, okay, what do I feel like wearing? And it was just, there have just been more days than not where I've wanted to dress more feminine. And I think for me, I've had to undo a lot of internalized shame around femininity and a lot of internalized dislike of femininity because so back in high school, like I said, I learned how to sew, but I took multiple family and consumer sciences classes, which is like home ec, where they rebranded it to make it sound mm-hmm. less terrible. But I love all that stuff. I love to bake. I love to sew. I like to cook. I love kids, all those types of things. And I think I had a lot of internalized shame around that. Like, oh, you know, I sound like a Susie Homemaker or something, but I never wanted to be that person. Mm-hmm. And so it took me a while to reclaim, like, I still like to do these things and it's okay to like to do these things. And it doesn't mean that I'm, you know, not being my full self. And it doesn't mean that I'm, you know, doing women a disservice by doing these things. Like, somebody has to make the clothes. Somebody has to wash the kids. Somebody has to bake the cookies. Like, yeah, we don't need cookies, but who wants to live in a world without cookies? So,
right.
You know, somebody has to do it. And that's not a bad thing. If it's something that I enjoy, like, who cares whether it's been branded one gender or another? And I can still like those things and like traditionally masculine things. Mm-hmm. I can still like those things and wear a bow tie. I can still like those things and not be comfortable identifying as a woman. Mm-hmm. And I can like those things and identify as a femme and still not like to be called she, her, ma'am, miss, lady. Oh, I hate the word lady. That's a whole nother thing. But
that's a thing.
Yeah, the word lady just, it has, it's so heavy. It's
that's exactly what I thought when you said that. Like, I don't know anything besides the fact that when somebody says it, it's actually thrown very heavy.
Yeah. And it's usually in the context of, I think of like my mom when I was a kid, and I'd be wearing like my church dress and sitting like I was a basketball player, and she would be like, "You're sitting like a basketball player, sit like a lady." And it's just like, it's a set of expectations. Mm-hmm. And it's like a heavy, like a cloak or something like that I feel like I have to do by virtue of having the body that I have. Mm. And I hate that. Mm-hmm. And so like, oh, hey, ladies. Hello, ladies. Okay, ladies. Like anything like that, I hate so much.
You know what I'm realizing, because I'm more aware of it now, is people... It's not only that it's annoying, it's that when you address it, it's just a word, you know, like mm-hmm. just get over it, or
right.
Hey guys, hey, whatever it is, it's just like, this is the way that we talk. This is the way that we talk in the South. Whatever it is, mm-hmm. There's always an excuse for the fact that something that you are saying not only hurts someone's feelings, but it causes physiological damage.
Right.
To them. And we don't see it on, that's, I think this is where I get really passionate about it. We don't see it maybe on the outside. We may see it as someone becoming numb or someone crying or whatever it is. And we're like, oh, we just hurt their feelings. Yes, that happened. And hurting someone's feelings really shifts them into this physiological state of fight or flight.
Yeah.
And It's disturbing to see it happen so much. And I see a lot of things on a grand scale on these big platforms where for me, it's not so much about getting it wrong. It's about what your fragility response is to it.
Mm-hmm.
And shutting down someone's voice and not saying, it's not that for me, it's like not even saying sorry. It's saying, oh, okay, I didn't take that into account. You're truth is valid. This mm-hmm. is something that I'm hearing that you're saying, and I've become a better person by hearing you. You know what I mean? Yeah. So when I hear those small things, or even when I see someone that's at a conference and they're just throwing these things out to thousands of people, mm-hmm. what's actually happening? I was recently at this event and they said the future of humans is non-binary. And I'm like, yes. But there's so much subconscious fight against
mm-hmm.
it. And it's created, I believe that gender and the binaries have created industries that will fall apart.
Absolutely.
If they don't remain gendered or binary or right. whatever we want to call it. We need to make black and white, or we're going to lose money.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, what would the weight loss industry look like if it wasn't heavily gendered, right? Mm-hmm. Because men can take up space, but women can't. And if we subvert that, if we say, hey, I am a human being and I'm going to take up as much space as I want, then all of a sudden, where's Jenny Craig? Where's Weight Watchers, right? Yeah. Where's the Atkins diet? Where are all these things that say that women have to be... Okay, I'm jumping on my soapbox. I can feel it. So women... It's just, it's so insidious and it's all connected. All these things that we don't even realize are connected, you know, that women are supposed to be small. Women are supposed to take up less space. Women are supposed to be meek and humble and docile. Basically, white supremacy wants women to be as childlike as possible, mm-hmm. And as small as possible. Mm-hmm. And so imagine being a fat, dark-skinned Black woman with disabilities. The further you are away from this ideal of basically being a hairless child, a tiny hairless child, which, you know, hair removal industry and all those types of things, you know, but be small, be pale, be all these things. And to be a fat, Black, dark-skinned, Black woman, queer, you know, with disabilities or whatever other identities, the further you are away from that, the more harm you experience because of those identities and because of how you show up in the world. So for me, I feel like we owe it to those folks who don't fit into these nice, neat boxes, who can experience real harm because of it. And not necessarily, like, we look at Serena Williams, right? She hasn't come out and said, hey, I'm non-binary or I identify under the trans umbrella. She is, as far as I know, a cisgender, heterosexual Black woman, and people are still attacking her. People are still attacking her body because she's dark-skinned, because she's muscular, because she takes up space with her presence, not even necessarily with her body, but with her presence. Mm-hmm. People always have something to say, and they always position her up against these tiny white girls, basically, who are in tennis, especially like the little tiny Russian girls and Eastern European girls. They position them against each other. Well, it's not fair. She's so much bigger than them, or, you know, she's this, she's that. And it's like, she's just a Black woman trying to exist. Mm-hmm. I think decolonizing gender, one, it helps more than just non-binary folks and trans mm-hmm. folks. It helps Black folks, because a lot of Black women aren't afforded femininity. A lot of Black women aren't afforded being small and taking up less space because Black people are either seen as invisible or hypervisible. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we either have to shrink ourselves to fit in certain spaces, or we have to do everything we can to deflect from our Blackness mm-hmm. In certain spaces that won't allow us to be anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's really frustrating in general for Black folks, or for anybody who, you know, you walk into a room and whatever that identity is for you, that is you, and nobody will see past that. Mm-hmm. And it frustrates me so much that for a lot of people, for 50% of the population, that's gender, you know, along with other identities. But, you know, I walk into a room and the first thing people see, oh, they assume that I'm a woman, which automatically throws a list of expectations onto mm-hmm. me when literally I just walked in here.
Right.
So it's fascinating to me that because of our psychological need to categorize people, mm-hmm. we've gone infinite steps further by, you know, stereotyping and kind of tracking people on these specific tracks based on their genitalia or based on secondary sex characteristics or based on the depth of their voice or whatever the case is. And it's just infuriating, because how much have people lost out on because of their gender or their perceived gender? Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. There's so much to that, and so much that we can't even get to today mm-hmm. because a lot of it is based in survival, not only the idea of supremacy, but what we have been taught to do to survive, which is its own podcast,
right?
Because we have to deconstruct our own narratives to be able to express fully, because we feel and we can feel in our body that this isn't it, but it's like, but you're hitting against a wall, and that wall is typically survival, which is something that's not touched on most times. It's like, well, just meditate or just pretend like it's not real. But it's not only the outside, and it's generally not even the outside, it's the inside of what we have been taught and how that's been moved through years and years and years of people trying to survive. And many people are always at like, let's just thrive. But many people feel like, and as you said, can experience real harm. And I've spoke on this a lot of times when we're talking about just including other people and just diversifying, most times we're just bringing that into a system of supremacy. We're not actually creating new spaces that have every single human in mind. To me, if a Black trans woman that is disabled can't be there, then it's not for everyone. It's not that at all. So everything has to be created so that person can walk in, whether they feel the safety or not, because that's not my job to create the safety. I can't say that they need to feel safe with me. That is not true. That is not even fair that as someone that presents cis that, oh, they need to feel safe with me. No. But if they were to walk in, that they do have all of the things available to them, and I thought about you. Mm-hmm. But it's still not my privilege that someone that walks in feels safe. That's not a thing. But what I can do is create spaces and create all of these conferences that we talk about for women, but that just actually only means cis women. Speaking out.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
For me to be the person that's often invited in those spaces and asking those questions, they're like, why are you asking? I'm like, because they're not here.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like the listeners have heard a different like level of passion because this actually matters to me because it's not just the thought. It's not just this trending thing to me. There is real physiological damage that happens when people are marginalized. And we can skip over it all we want to skip over it, but the truth is, it's real. And that's why I noticed so much joy when you said yes to being a podcast guest, because I have seen you express yourself on so many different levels. And I don't make up that it's just been super easy, but you've like taken off layers, more layers and more layers. And it's not always just been public. It's just when I've seen you, I've been like, okay, here they are. They're out here doing it. And with that, I know that I'm super fortunate to be connected with you, but I would love for you to let the listeners know how they can stay connected with you socially and on the World Wide Web and your projects or anything that's coming up for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do a lot of things. Like, honestly, at any given time, I have like 1,000 ideas running through my head of what I want to do. But right now, what I'm focusing on is a couple of different things. One, my Instagram page, it's powerful.full.free. That's my space where I kind of put my spiritual thoughts out there, all the things that I'm considering in the context of today's world. I've read like every self-help book that you could ever think of, and Eckhart Tolle and Deepak Chopra and all those folks. And so me processing all those things through a Black, queer, non-binary lens, I guess. And then I also have started a social justice event planning business called Socially Just Events. And you can find that on Instagram at Socially Just Events, one word. So if you are a healer, a social justice organization, or anything along those lines, and you want to hold events, but you are stretched too thin, like many healers and social justice organizers tend to be, that's kind of where I want to step in and take some of that burden off of folks' shoulders. And then lastly, I am creating educational programs for, right now I'm focusing on homeschoolers, but another specific group that I want to work with is Black girls who have been involved in either the criminal justice system, either themselves or a family member has been involved in the criminal justice system, the foster care system, or girls who don't live with their biological parents. Mm-hmm. Since culturally as Black folks, we just take people in and we don't necessarily go through all the paperwork to be officially adopted or officially foster care. So I want to acknowledge that. But that's something that I am actively looking for grants and money for, because I don't want to ask these girls or their families to pay. So, yeah, those are my main projects right now. But you can communicate with me through, either of those Instagram pages, and hopefully you'll see more of me. I have a website in the works, but it is not ready to be launched. So I don't want to send y'all to it and then it's like, Nothing came up. I know, sis. I'm working on it. So that's where I am right now. And otherwise, just running around town trying to be great.
You are great. Greatness is you. You are this really perfect, holy, divine creation, individualized expression of all there is. And I give so much thanks for your being. You've impacted me more than words can ever say. And it's not because you've ever taught me anything about just like saying something. It's been who you've been. And like I said, I've known it's been from the stands, but I just want you to know you probably impact more people than you think, just because you're choosing to be. And I would love to know, because I could talk about this because of the way you make me feel, but if there's anything that you would like to leave the listeners with before we check out of here.
Pressure. Okay. I feel like I need to drop like a good nugget of knowledge. Let's see. Take time to rest. I think that's been something that I've been learning this past year, but specifically the past few months, that there's always time. Mm-hmm. There's always time to do the things that you think you have to do right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you can, realistically, take time to rest and do something for yourself. And even if that's just sitting, you know, sometimes you take that extra like 3 minutes on the toilet when you don't need to. Like, just take those three minutes on the toilet. Just sit there. Just breathe on the toilet. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when you're just like, I don't want to get up right now. I'm just going to sit here. Just sit there. Just be in that moment and breathe through it.
Thank you so much. I do offer that y'all spend 3 more minutes on the toilet. Outside of that, thank you so much for investing your time with not just me, but with the audience that's listening and getting to experience you. And I know this is one of many things that we'll do together. And until next time, Sanctuary Peace.
The ideas expressed by guests are not necessarily Dr. Crystal's personal beliefs. Information received from Sanctuary the Podcast is not to be used as a substitute for medical or psychological advice. See and hear more from Dr. Crystal by becoming a free member of the Lighter Side Network at www.thelightersidenetwork.com. The Lighter Side Network, where the everyday meets the extraordinary.